I don't know about you, but 2022 is going to end real soon tonight. But I thank God for every day of 2022. I learned something every day in 2022. And what I learned now is going to go over into 2023, and I'm not going to make the same mistakes I made in 2022. And everybody curses, I'll be so glad when this year's over. No, thank God for everything you learned in this year, and then make sure you carry it over into the next year. If not, you're going to go through the same mess you in 23 as you did in 22. So let's just quit doing that. Every day you should have been learning something from God. Every day. There's not one day it goes by that God isn't trying to teach us something. Did you learn a lot?
Yes.
What grade are you in? You know, are you in college somewhere? Or Are you on your master's degree, or what's the next one after master's degree? You know, the doctor. You're in your doctorate, isn't that what you're on? You're in your doctorate because you have learned what serving God is all about. Have you not? If you didn't, you guys that are permanent here, you're going to have me on you like fly on honey this next year, because we are supposed to be doing a great and mighty works for the Father, and we can't be doing it if we're still wallowing in 22. So we're not going to wallow in 22 any longer, are we? Because from now, from this point on, we're just going to be doing everything really super good. And then whenever we go into 23, we're going to have made the grade. So the other day, God said, we are going into 2023 with resurrection power. I think that's awesome. We're going from the dead to the living. All right. And then today he said 2023 comes forth with every knee bowing to the Lord Jesus. So if you're still bowing one of your knees to the devil, you haven't made the grade. And I don't know if you will make the grade. I'm talking to all you veterans. They've been sitting in church for years upon years upon years. And these new little recruits that we have coming in and have come in and are coming in, they're going to have to be taught the right way to live with Christ. And there can't be any mixture. I was reading today where God was saying where this new group of young people that are coming in, they're going to need to be mothered and fathered. And they're going to be, we're going to have to be able to teach them the right way to live. And with no mixture in it. And God said, if you have mixture, your ministry's done. Your ministry's totally done because he doesn't need you. You've been in the way too long. You should be walking in the truth, in the power and authority of Christ. And the enemy should be under your feet. All right? Now, isn't that awful? I just said all that and we're supposed to be happy. But you can't be happy in 23 if you don't hear that, right? I didn't know I was going to say all that to tell you the truth because I wasn't going to say nothing. I don't even have me on the agenda except to make a comment. I was going to welcome you all, and I do welcome each and every one of you. You know, I sat back there and I said, look who just came in. Well, look who's just coming in. Wow, look who just come in. And then there's Leonard. Linnell. Well, look, Linnell's here. You guys have all blessed me tonight by coming through the doors, haven't they? Then I watched some of you sit there sitting through praise and worship looking like the devil was in control when God was not in control of anything. You're mistaken. God's in control of all things. And you do have a reason to sing. Just the fact you're breathing is a reason to be rejoicing. Not unless you want to die. If you do, just go out there and lay in a hole somewhere and tell God to take you on home. But otherwise, we should be rejoicing, right? You know, have you read what's going on in the other countries? Have you read how their Christians are being persecuted? How their kids are being killed? Their homes are being bombed? I don't see that going on in America yet. So why are we so downtrodden? Let's check. I'll check our hearts right now. Why are we so downtrodden? I don't care if you have a hangnail. Cut it off. and keep on going. I don't care if, you know, if you have a thorn in the flesh. God told Paul, you don't worry about that thorn in your flesh. I'll take care of that. You keep doing my work. See, there's a whole lot God was trying to teach us during this year, but did we learn it? Did we really learn it? And he said, you're going to find out real soon in the beginning of 23, because you're going to be tried to the limit, and you're going to know what you learned and what you didn't learn. Amen. Are those your daughters? Are they your daughters? I didn't understand what you just said. Which one's your daughter? Angie, you've grown up. I did not recognize you. And this is your friend from school?
Yes.
Did you tell her we were crazy in here before you brought her in here? Did she tell you? She told you that, didn't she? Yeah, see, I knew she did. And she doesn't lie. She's telling the truth. But, you know, oh, she does lie? Well, okay, she told you the truth on it. I'm just joshing with you, honey. She didn't lie to you. Everybody has to experience the Lighthouse Church at least one time in their lifetime, right? Then you go out and talk about us all you want, and that brings us more people in because they want to see what you're talking about, is what it's all about. And you're telling about there's a bunch of crazy people in here who don't know really that they're too dumb to even know they're having a problem. But that's not what it's all about, is it? What it's all about is we know we have problems just like Jesus did. But we also know that he was an overcomer and that we are also overcomers. And because Jesus said, God said, we're going in this resurrection power, then Jesus was raised from the dead. And the church had been dead for quite a few years, not this one. And so God is resurrecting the church, and we're come from death to life, life everlasting. Right now, tonight, what we're going to do is take communion.
Starting at verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it with you new in my Father's kingdom."
How many of you all are excited about 2023? Right, right. Got you. My son, about a week before Christmas, sat down in the living room. Good old Andrew sat down in the living room and said, "Mom, when is the new year coming in? Because it's getting too long. This new year is getting, or this 2022 is becoming to be too long, you know." And I said, "Andrew, pipe it down, because I'm going to enjoy Christmas, right?" So he's ready for the new year, even though he's not here right now. But I just want to share something with you all that the Lord placed in my spirit for 2023. How many of you all are familiar with Sight and Sound? The theater in PA, right? Beautiful theater. My husband and I snuck out about a couple weeks back. We did not tell the kids. Sorry, Kirsten, you're going to have to forgive us. This is a new revelation for you. But we snuck out and saw David, the play David, and it was beautiful. And let me share something with you about David. In the beginning of the play, he had a little guitar. I saw Isaiah walking through today with a little guitar. And I was like, "Isaiah, where is that going to be at for later on?" But anyway, David had a little guitar that he was playing in the beginning of the play. And he sung a hook or lyric to God saying, "I'm after your heart." And he was just playing that one-liner throughout the whole entire play. And when it was time for David to go home and be with the Lord, his loved ones was there, but he picked that guitar up at the very end and said, "I am after your own heart." It was beautiful, y'all. It was absolutely beautiful. So in one part of the play, they had him on a mountain, And if you ever been to Sight and Sound, you would know that things are like 3D. And they had it where the sky was open and the clouds were shifting and the mountains were moving. And it was just like you actually felt true intimacy with the Lord. And he was just singing his heart out to the Lord on the mountain. And I said, oh my goodness, this is what it feels like to have that more deeper relationship with the Lord. So this week, I was listening to scripture, and it just so happened Psalms 103 was playing in the Bible Gateway app. And in the beginning of Psalms 103, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Second verse, bless the Lord, O my soul. And I'm not going to say it, verbatim, but he was basically trying to say, remember his benefits. And if you read a little bit further down, David is basically remembering the goodness of the Lord. So at the very end of that passage, he leaves and says, bless the Lord, O my soul. The very next chapter, 104, Psalms 104, he opens up again and says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And I was listening. I said, wait a minute. What is David doing? He's commanding his very soul to worship the Lord. His very being, his whole entire body, to worship the Lord. And this is what God wants us to do in the new year. Like, we love the warrior David. We can take a sword and just cut the enemy to pieces. But do we know about the worshiper? Like, no. We get excited over the armies of David and all that he killed and all of that. And we do all the spiritual warfare, but really, we really need to approach God in the new year in a different way, a new intimacy, so to speak. And this is where God wants us to go. We are headed for some tough times. And if you read about David, David commanded his soul to praise the Lord when he was in the lowest places. I mean, he just encouraged himself. So in the new year, God really wants us to look at him from the perspective that David had after a man after God's own heart. That's the only way that the harvest is going to come in. We need to die, like flesh, everything. We need to die. So I just want to encourage you all, because this is where we have to be in order for us to be where God really wants us to be in the new year. So, worshipers, y'all, worshipers. All right.
Yeah. It's you on it. All right. What did you think of that? Did you learn something about what you're supposed to be doing in the coming year? What is it? You did a good job, Catherine. I'll give you a gold star. They remembered. The next one up is Reverend Aaron.
Alrighty. So, 2022, we're kissing it goodbye, right? But Pastor Barbara brought up the perfect point. What are you learning? And I'm going to talk about the courts of heaven. And do you know that the hard times, the trials and tests, they don't happen for any reason? They're trying to, so here's the deal. So God has a purpose for each of us, right? The enemy has a purpose for each of us. The enemy does not want us to reach our destiny in God, right? But the amount of authority that God wants to give us, we don't just walk into it. We earn it. We're tried and we're tested to be worthy of the glory, to be worthy to destroy the enemy. And do we know the amount that we're fought is the amount that we're going to fight? You know, all of hell's tactics against us, if we overcome it, we own the keys. And we can destroy all those things, all those chambers of captivity. So do we know that the enemy, he has a wide kingdom? God has the kingdom of heaven, which is wider. But the depth of our suffering is all measured. The depth of the sin we walked into can be deep, but the resurrection power of God can go deeper. So that pit we've been in, those struggles we've been in, God is wanting to redeem. God is wanting to redeem. And so we're not quite this, but God's trying to qualify us so that we are this. Because, you know, God was kind of talking earlier, Pastor Barbara was talking that you could keep going around that mountain and then you could miss it. You could dissolve that mountain. You can go around it so many times, it's just going to fall off. And that thing conquered you. And you don't get everything God wants for you. But we have a long-suffering God, right? And so we should be encouraged, and we should want to redeem all the heartache, everything we've been through. Like, when we started up, it was like, all right, 2022, see ya, bye. But it's so true. The lessons we've learned and the keys that we are getting, if we continue, and if we conquer these things that have been trying to conquer us, okay? So this is what God wants to bring us to. It's up to you and God whether you get this. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We've read this scripture many times, right? But what's this talking about? This is talking about a people that belong to a government of the kingdom that never ends. Hell has an ending. The world has an ending. But we're supposed to be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Okay? And God has been taking us through different furnaces in the areas in our life that we aren't worthy to be the royal priest, when we aren't showing that we are chosen by God, and when we aren't a member of that holy nation because there's unholiness in us, God's been trying to burn these things out of us, okay? So there's so much authority, and God called this the era of authority. He wants 23 to be the era of authority that we step into. And maybe those sicknesses, that discouragement, those diseases, those things that have driven us nuts, made us want to quit, but we didn't quit. What if those things, God just simply used them to try us and to test us? Because at the end of the day, are we serving God? Because he's going to give us all this power and authority and we're going to impress people. And we're, you know, is it? Or are we serving God because we love him? Even if, God, I don't see the miracle, even if I don't feel like I have any power, even if that gift that I so want to bring out has not come out, and it just feels like I'm hitting a wall with a, you know, little hammer, even if that, I'm still going to know that you're going to redeem this situation. But what's this doing? God's been building faith in us, because faith is the currency of heaven. Faith makes God real to us. And if we're going to save people, we can't tell people about this imaginary God in the sky. It's the God we know. It's the God that's in us, okay? Amen. It's the faith. So all these tests and trials, they're going to be so easily redeemed if we learn the lessons and if we move forward in God. So God wants each of us to be in a position of power and authority, you know? And we're going to see it right here, Zechariah 3, starting at verse 6. So this is a courtroom scene. It's in the Old Testament, but this is God's desire for, at the time, the high priest Joshua, okay? And we are supposed to be a royal priesthood. So this is his same message to us right now. And this is what he's been trying to get us to do, okay? So then the angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord of hosts says: if you walk in my ways and keep my instructions, then you will govern my house and will also have charge of my courts. And I will give you a place among these who are standing here. Is God going to do everything by himself? Or is he going to do everything with you? Does he desire for us to be a royal priesthood so that we participate? Does he desire that the kingdom's real to us? We're worthy to stand in those positions and rule and reign with him and to be his body on the earth. Like, why is the church in such a mess? Heaven's not real. Hell has destroyed them.
Amen.
They've lost all their faith. You know, all these things. And the old church, you know, God's been judging, God's been long-suffering, but the people that don't get this reality, they're going to lose out. But we're not, right? Because we're taking it very seriously. We're not being discouraged, because those things that could discourage us are proving us to make us worthy of the royal priesthood, right? All righty. So, Reverend Catherine was talking about the heart of David. And here's the redemption. Here's the reason why you're suffering. Okay, the heart that God wants to use, the heart of a royal priest, the heart of a member of his kingdom, is very similar to this. So let's look at the Beatitudes. If you can go down to Matthew 5. Okay, that's perfect. Matthew 5, these are the Beatitudes. This is Jesus talking. Jesus is saying, you know, so let's see who's blessed in the eyes of Jesus, okay? Let's see who's blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We've heard all this, but right now let's break it down to, I'm going to take the first part and the next part, but we're going to group them together. So we know it goes, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So let's go down all the blessed things there. We're going to put them together. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Have you been going through that? Have you been poor in spirit in 2022? Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Have you been saying, God, bring me, make me right with you. God, make this person right with you. God, make this president, see, this false presidency go away. It's driving me crazy. It's so unrighteous. We've been doing that. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, those who are reviled and persecuted and lied about. Blessed. Blessed. Does it seem like you're blessed in that moment? God is setting you up for a blessing. And these are all the blessings for all that I just named. So all those things that could be bad, all those things that don't sound fun, 2022, all those things, here's the blessing. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You will be comforted. You shall inherit the earth. You will be filled. You shall obtain mercy. You will see God. You will be called a son of God. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. With those blessings, it starts and ends with yours is the kingdom of heaven. He repeats it. He opens it and he closes it with yours is the kingdom of heaven. Does that mean when I die, I'm going to see heaven and I'm not going to know it while I'm on the earth? No. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Do you want to be redeemed for all you've been going through? Do you want to experience breakthrough? Do you want the power of the kingdom? See, and so, but so this, so we're looking at this, all these things, that's a heart that God can bless. So it, all what we've been going through, if we're seeing the encouragement in it, and if we're ready to receive the blessing of God, you know, it's lining right up. Alrighty, so the suffering we go through is going to be paid back. How? The might of the Holy Spirit is going to come into our lives. Okay, and God's going to anoint us, and we're going to finally be harvesters that we were meant to be. Don't we all want that? That should, Amen. You know, a priest, a member of this nation is all about, come on, the door's open, come on, let me, you know, get with God. All right, God, what is going on in this person's life? What's going on upon the earth? What's going on in hell that's stopping you from reaching this person? But see, God's going to give us all the keys. And all the keys that we need is within the courts, okay? And so we're talking about authority. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about the courts of heaven. Well, let's look at this. Let's look about what Jesus said about his church. And Jesus didn't, you know, come around to this later on. This is everything he said about his church from the get-go. This is his plan for the church. Okay. Matthew 18, chapter 16, starting, or Matthew 16, verse 18. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Power, authority. Or have we seen it yet? We've seen a bit of it. But if we hang on, we're going to see it. We're going to see it. Now, this part, so you may have been familiar with that scripture. Well, this one teacher, I forgot his name, I didn't even write it down. But he, so that scripture we just read, I will build my church, Jesus talking. Here is the Greek of that with all the tenses fixed and all, you know, all the wordage put into a coherent sentence. You know, because sometimes it's hard to get the English from the Greek. Well, this is the best that you can do. Now, listen up, church. This is what Jesus said. Whatever you at any time encounter of hell's counsel, and that's talking about hell's leadership and government, that I am determined my ecclesia will prevail against. So Jesus is saying, whatever you see hell doing, that action, all that, I'm determined that my church is going to prevail against that. Anything hell can do, anything the government of hell and all that can do, I know my church will prevail against it. And then he says this, you will then face a decision, church. You will then face a decision as to whether or not you will bind it. What transpires is conditional upon your response. Is that an eye-opener? This is saying that, so Jesus was saying, I'm building a church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'll give you keys, okay? We look into that literal translation, and Jesus is talking to his church here. He's saying, you will then face a decision of whether or not you will bind it. What transpires is conditional upon your response. So what's that saying? That's saying, church, I'm giving you so many keys, but you're going to need to know how to use them. And guess what? I want you to use them because I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to be with you. But Jesus is looking for a church
Amen. That
is going to make decisions, that can be trusted to make decisions. And what happens upon the earth, whether people go to hell, whether then we have this false presidency for however longer, is conditional upon the church's response. Authority, trust, all these things. And the kingdom of heaven, if we keep going, we're just about to receive so much revelation. And we're going to know the Holy Spirit's going to rise up in us and we're going to operate like an official of the courts of heaven. It's not going to be this vague thing. We're going to know it because God's going to make sure. If your heart is right, if he can trust you with the power, if he knows you can make the right decision. Okay, so I'm going to conclude there. We have a lot to be excited of. The richness of the kingdom of heaven is for each and every one of us. The keys to the kingdom, do we really know what that means? It's the power of God. It's revelation. It's understanding. It's to unlock anything, to know anything. You know, Jesus said that he will bring all things back to our remembrance. All things. What did he talk to you about before you came here? Anything that you would ever need to know while you're here. So we're going to access that. We should be excited. Keep on with the qualification process so that we can be the ambassadors of the kingdom, the holy nation that God wanted. And hallelujah. Amen. Thank you.
What you learned is that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Isn't that what you learned? And you also learned that God gave you keys. He didn't keep them for himself. He gave you the keys to defeat the enemy. And you have to learn how to use those keys. All right, now Reverend Christopher Gore is going to give you a teaching.
There's a lot that God is sharing tonight. He started off with saying that he's after your heart. Reverend Aaron talked about us being a royal priesthood. Do you realize that you are a priest unto the Lord? Do you realize that a part of your responsibility is to care about the things that He cares about? When we go on to worship before the Lord, it's not just us singing. You're really trying to minister to Him, to minister to His heart. And I don't believe the body of Christ understands this concept. We look at it as something that we have to do. You know, this is a chore, instead of us ministering to the Lord. When you look at some of the key concepts of worship, it means to bow down or to kiss. And I don't believe the body of Christ understands that when you go into worship, you're kissing the Lord. You're laying yourself down before Him, prostrate. And it's not so much the act of your body, but your heart. Give Him your heart so that He can do the things with you that He wants to do. There has been a continuous devastation in the body of Christ amongst the leadership. We're seeing leaders in the church saying it's okay for you to sell marijuana through the church. They're saying this right now. I want to call all of my drug dealer, ex-drug dealers, into service so you can help make the house of God money. I'm going to make a business out of this. There are churches that are going through sex scandals where the leaders are sleeping with the people. 2022. How do you think God feels about this? Looking down from heaven, looking at people who are supposed to be His royal priesthood, righteousness, called to minister to His heart. That's not giving Him glory. That's not preparing a way for His Son to return to the earth. I thank God that we have the teaching that we have to keep us on the straight and narrow. But you should be at a point now in your life where that should motivate you to be a strong part of the remnant, to be the part of the remnant that God can look to and count on and say, I need to use you, get up and go. I need to use you, start typing. I need to use you, start worshiping me. It has to become that real to us. This level of authority that Reverend Aaron talked about, it's coming. And those people who are in the remnant, who are walking where they're supposed to walk, are going to experience those levels of power. And it's going to be absolutely mind-blowing. But you don't realize how dangerous this is. The anointing is nothing to play with. It's absolutely nothing to play with. And you don't realize that when you're carrying the anointing, you have a responsibility, again, to minister to the Lord, to minister for the Lord. And you can't take that lightly. You can't take that burden and that responsibility and just chuck it to the side and say that it doesn't mean anything, because it does. And you're going to be held accountable for what you do with the anointing that God has placed upon your life. You're going to be held accountable for the people that you're supposed to minister to.
Amen.
It's not going anywhere. Things are going to get harder.
Amen.
Harder, not easier. it's going to be harder to keep your own faith going. Because you're going to look down the street at the church that used to preach the full gospel of Christ, and they no longer preach it. And you're going to start wondering, what's wrong with me? Why do I have to toe such a heavy line? Why do I have to walk in such a level of holiness if they can do what they want to do and God doesn't judge them? This is how real this is right now. But you have to make a decision. Are you going to give God your whole heart and not look at what those other churches are doing? Total surrender. This really is an individual race. It's not a sprint. It's endurance. Long term. Long term. In the spirit realm, you want the deeper things of God. You want to flow in miracles. You're going to have to look and endure all of the junk that the church is doing. All of the times that the church, not the world, the church breaks the heart of God. Do you feel that? Do you even take the time to think, God, how messed up are we as the church? How do you feel about these things that are going on? How can I comfort you? There is a standard, and we have to make sure that we maintain that standard, no matter what. No matter what we see other churches doing, no matter what we feel, there's going to be times when you're not going to feel like doing what you're supposed to do. And if anyone in this room is honest with you, they will tell you that. Sometimes you don't feel like reading your Bible. Sometimes you don't feel like worshiping. Sometimes you don't feel like coming to church. This is how bad and how strong the enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to take you out. And we have to tell you the truth about what's going on. So when this hits you, you're not thinking that you're some strange thing out there. And you're the only one who feels this way. Because you're not. The entire body of Christ is going through this. You have to make the choice. I'm going to be remnant. I'm going to minister to my Lord. I'm going to walk in a level of holiness that is far surpasses even my ability to do it. Because it's going to take Christ in you to cause you to walk in that level of holiness. Our hearts have to burn for him. We were having a discussion about hatred the other day and how the Bible says that you're supposed to hate your mother, father, sister, brother, wife in comparison to your love for Christ. Do you have that level of hatred? And hatred is a strong word. We don't like using that in the church. How close are you to God? How much do you desire to be in his presence? Everything that God said so far tonight is tied together. I'm after your heart. We're royal priests. He's given us new levels of authority. These demons that have been unleashed right now, do you realize they're causing people to lose their mind? I know several cases right now where people were hospitalized. Mind's gone. and the doctors don't know what to do. This is spiritual. And we have to be in the spirit more now than we ever have been before. It's not going to change. And if you're looking for things to be easy, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. It's amazing how many people want husbands, wives, money, all kinds of things. But you ask them about their relationship with God. Oh, I don't know. Does he really want me? Yes, he does. What's important to you? Now is the time to make the decision to change, to get what he really wants, to be in that position of worship and bowing your heart before him, kissing him, not because you want something, but because you really love him from the core part of your being. The things that are going on, they're not meant to stop us, but it should break your heart like it breaks the heart of God. I don't know where this is going to go. I don't even know if God wants us to change these things that are going on within the church. But they need to be felt. They need to be expressed. We can't just go on pretending that these things don't exist because they're happening. There is a love that I will give you for me if you ask. That love will take you into the highest realms of my glory. That love will cause you to touch my heart in ways that few have. Children, if you only understood how much I need you. I need you to be on the same page with me. I need you to drop the things that you want to do and pick up the things that I need for you to do. I'm not promising you an easy road. I'm promising you my spirit in its fullness. I'm promising you adventure on all sides and in all ways. Children, take my hand. Let's run. Let's run into my kingdom. I am looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Her dress has become tattered, torn, and disheveled. Let me consecrate you tonight, afresh and anew in me. Let's go forth into this dark, dark world. So that I can bring my fire and my rain. It's coming. I am not going to stop it from coming. You just have to decide what side of it you're going to be on.
Are you taking what God just prophesied to you in your spirit, man? Did you understand it was God speaking to you and not Christopher? You know, God orchestrates his church if we allow him to. These three speakers did not know what the other one was going to speak on, but it all flowed together so well. When are you going to learn that God is spirit? And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're not going to be a spirit-filled child, then God, you're not God's child, because God told us that religion was out the window and it was spirit calls unto spirit. If you're a minister of the gospel, you should be a walking example of what Jesus is all about. The Word of God tells me that men love your wives as Christ loves the church. I never heard of, Jesus was never married, but I'm quite sure if he would have been married, he wouldn't have treated his wife badly. He wouldn't have smacked her around. You know, I've read about where ministers are smacking their wives around. He wouldn't have been cussing them or anything like that, because the God that I serve is a God of love, a God of compassion. And all he ever shows forth is love. How are you going to minister to the world that God's going to send into the church if you yourself aren't walking 100% in love, the love of Christ? You can't do that. And therefore, God's not going to send those people into your church to be destroyed. You might find your church doors closed. And a lot of you in here are called to the ministry. And I'm going to tell you, if you're really called into the ministry, if you really walk with God 100%, you've gone through hell like you've never gone through hell before in the year 2022. Because all of God's true children have been attacked on every side, every front. Because he was trying to take you out before you entered into 23. Because he said if he knew that Satan knew if you made it into 23, he had no more hold on you. The trials and the tribulations, they come to the right, the left, behind, the front, overhead, underneath. They came from everywhere. But how did you truly react to those trials and those tests? You know, God keeps his own. I want you to know that. And God always told me that he would take care of me. I wouldn't have to worry about nothing. Now, you don't see me driving a car, a big fancy car. You don't see me in a great big fancy home. You don't see a big fancy church. But God takes care of what he needs to feed his people. A couple months ago, you know, things were going bad. And I was walking through the sanctuary, and God said, "Daughter, don't you think about another thing." He said, "I've got you covered financially." I have never once worried about where the finances were going to come from for this church. Why? Because I know, first of all, I'm called of God to do what I'm doing. Second, I know I serve a God who loves me desperately, completely. And third, I know I love him. Can't love as much as he loves me, but I sure do love him. And it doesn't matter what he's called me to go through. I didn't always go through with a smile on my face. But I said, "Yes, God, if that's what I have to do, that's what I have to do." And isn't that what Jesus did when he went to the cross? He didn't have a smile on his face. He was tortured. But he knew he had to finish his race. And he knew he was the victorious one no matter what for hell he was going through. Paul and Silas, in the dungeon, in chains, praising God, and Paul was writing letters to encouraging the church while he himself was in stocks and bonds. I don't see that going on in the house of God, do you? You know, if we're in a mess, boy, we're just, "Okay, God, you're about to get me out of this mess, and I'm done here. I'm going to go and act like the world until you decide to help me." You're not walking with the right Father. You're not walking down the path of love. And this church has taught about love and hate so many times, and fear. And I say, "God, why do I keep teaching the same thing?" He said, "Because they have not yet received the concept of what love's all about." Tonight, and I hope you respond to this better tonight than you did the last time God asked me to do this, we're going to have a foot washing service. And all we do here with the foot washing service is we just have the big man wipes. and you just go to whoever you want. You can come up here in the front if you like on a seat. I know that some of you sitting here, you have aught against your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, some member of the family. God wants that you to wash their feet tonight. And Chris, read this scripture next.
This is John chapter 13, starting in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you."
That was Jesus, the Messiah, washing his disciples' feet. He did that to prove to them that he was their servant. He was there to serve them. This is what you need to do. One time God asked me to wash my second husband's feet. I didn't want to do that. And God said, "You have to do it." And so I washed his feet. And you know what? A big heavy burden lifted off of me. A burden I didn't know I was carrying. Then I realized, I'm not here for this man to make me happy. I'm here to be his servant and show him who Jesus Christ truly is. And from that night forth, I became his servant. I didn't wait on him hand and foot or anything like that, but my whole attitude about him changed. And I realized this was someone who was lost, and God was trying to get them found. And he was wanting to use me as a vessel to do that. So if there's somebody here who wants to wash them, please don't wash my feet, all right? I don't want you to do that to me. But if there's somebody in here, you know you have ought against somebody, you need to wash their feet if you're going to go into 2023 free from the bondage of the enemy. The altar's open. The chairs are open. The wipes are somewhere, aren't they? They're on each side. If you need somebody to get you a wipe out, they will. And, you know, really and truly, even if you have somebody that's not here that you would like to wash their feet, you can ask somebody to sit in for them. And when you wash that person's feet that sits in for them, call them by name and just tell God you're becoming that person's servant. If you want to remain a minister of the gospel, you cannot go into 22 with the same sins that you, I mean into 23 with the same sins you had going on in your life in 22. Once again today, God spoke to me. He said, "I'm ministering to families, and I'm getting the families straightened out. And the families that won't come in line with alignment with me, I'm going to bypass." So if you're the minister of the gospel and you're the head of the family, God is looking at you very closely with a magnifying glass, and he is weighing you in the balance, and how are you faring in all that. I don't know where your minds are at. I don't know where your hearts are at. But if you can say, I'm a minister of the gospel and still act like the world, you've been terribly deceived somewhere along the line. And you're out of line with God. We know we minister to a lot of people. A lot of people go in and out of these doors, and God told us that's how it always would be, because he was going to train up ministers and send them forth to start churches. And so many people come in, but they just can't quite cut it. They can't quite cut it. They still want to stay in sin. They can't become pure and holy. And so God just, you can start a church all you want in your own flesh, but it's not going to profit anybody anything. If you don't start a church in the Spirit, following God 100%, this is a rough road to hoe. I know I've been in this since the early 80s. And I mean to tell you, more time than once that I wanted to throw into town. Not for what I was doing, but the way the enemy kept bombarding me, because he knew I was changing lives. And he was trying to, and if he can't get me, he worked on my kids. Then he can't get my kids, he works on me. He goes back and forth and back and forth. He'll do anything he can to stop you. And if you're not, I'm just hearing God say, if you're not loyal to him, then you're loyal to the enemy. And God's not going to be able to use you. So you have to make up your mind before midnight tonight. Am I a child of God, or am I just a pretend child of God? There's animosity in here tonight. I kept praying back here. I said, God, why isn't your spirit moving? Why isn't it stronger in here? And he said, there's sin in the camp. And as long as there's sin in the camp, God can't move the way he wants to move. So I'm giving you each one right now a chance to stand before your Father right where you're sitting. Judge yourself. Judge yourself. What's it say? It's better if you fall on a stone than a stone fall on you. It's better if you judge your doings than God come to you and judge you. So right now, take time out. Because you surely didn't want to go into 23 with any sin in your life. Because God has been promising anybody that's a minister and goes into sin in 23, he's going to eradicate them. You might not be any longer. This is not a harsh word. This is a good word. This is a word to save you. This is a word to pull you out of the hands of the enemy. Did your mother wash your feet, Jade? I want to make sure everybody's done what God wants them to do tonight. How many of you, and I'm going to hold showing hands, how many of you can honestly say, and don't lie to yourself, that you're right with God right now? Oh. I said a showing of hands, please. I didn't say you're perfect 100%, but you're right with God. You're not walking in deliberate sin. You're not walking in deliberate sin, but you're really, truly. I think I'll have to talk about this tomorrow, because y'all got, your minds went somewhere south. I know some of you should have had your hands up before I finished talking. You know, I make light of things sometimes, but they're very, very serious things. I make light of things so that that doesn't happen again, whatever that was. Oh, the reef fell. We're about ready to do the dropping of the balloons at midnight and everything. I want you to make sure that you're right with God. You know, all right, so you're not perfected yet, but you're working with every fiber of your being to get perfected. Then your hand can go up. If I'm treating my brother and my sister with love and compassion, then your hand can go up. I'm reading the word and I'm trying to follow God with all of my heart. Then your hand can go up. But if I'm just pretending like I'm a child of God and I'm not an example of Jesus at all, then your hand can't go up. So saying all that, I'm going to tell you what God's saying right now. Some of you are sitting on death row and you're not caring about it. You're lying to yourself about it. He wants you to be honest. Be perfectly honest about all things. Somebody told me when I first started my church, the God's church, they said that, well, your husband isn't right and your kids are on drugs. You shouldn't be preaching. So I went before God and I wept before God because I didn't want to be doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing. He said, I didn't call your family. I called you. Your family can't take you to heaven, only you can. He said, you're in my perfect will. Keep doing what I've called you for to do. It was in the 80s, early 80s. Is all my family saved? Hardly not. Do they know Jesus? Yes, they do. Do they know love and compassion? Yes, they do. Do they know what not following, being obedient to God's voice will do to them? Yes, they do. Are they reaching out to God? Yes, they are. Yes, they are, finally. So all we can do is just keep praying, keep walking out our walk with God, and don't worry about what anybody else is doing. I was married, my first husband, he was not serving God at all. I still serve God. It didn't bother me what he was doing. He had to work out his own salvation. So if you're letting a mate keep you from serving God, you have the problem, the mate doesn't, because you work out your own salvation. You have a Father in heaven that you can talk to who will give you everything that you need. You really don't need somebody who abuses you. God never abuses you. He only loves you. You know, men will abuse you. Women will abuse you. Your kids will abuse you. But God won't. So hang on to him with everything that you have as you go into the new year. And remember, God said, remember this night in whom you chose to serve. Because you are the one that's making the choosing. Not me, not your friend, but you are. How many times have you people that do preach, you hear the people say, well, I'd serve God, but my mate, you know how they are. We have a perfect example of somebody who serves God when the mate knows what to do, but they don't. And you have to keep hanging in there and hanging in there and hanging in there. What happened to Jesus? His brothers didn't even believe that he was the Messiah. He couldn't do any miracles in his own hometown because the people looked at him with disgust. Every place else he went, miracles flowed. Jesus didn't lose anything. His family did. The ones who ridiculed him and didn't believe in him. So, you know, if your mate doesn't want to serve God, that's up to them. If you can't stand abuse, then, you know, that's up to you too, what you do with that. But don't let them steal your salvation is what I'm trying to say. Don't let them do that. You walk out your own salvation. How many love Jesus?
Yes!
And you're going to take him into 23 with you?
Yes!
All right, now I'm going to hold you all accountable for that. I have this recorded so I'd let you hear yourself. You can blow your whistle. Oh, no, you all can't right. Blow anything. Don't talk. You have to wait till that gets down there.
It's coming up, you guys. Stand up. Go ahead. 10, 9,
pull these
8,
shoes.
7,
Nancy.
6,
Nancy.
5,
pull that
4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year.
Eric, turn the lights back on.